Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Ich bin der von Klon und Unstein, hi there.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here on the show, and it's a good Friday, that. Although it wasn't good for the Astros yesterday on Thursday. A good start. Nice to see Jake Myers hit a home run. Everyone tweets immediately about my dad. I know my dad did call later in the – I missed his call, but he called later in the evening.
Hey, I'm Lancey. Sure
he was calling about the
Jake
bullpen,
Myers homered.
On this, I guarantee he was going to say he's on pace to hit 162 home runs. He was going to drop that on me.
Did he?
No, I didn't get to talk to him. He called. I missed a call.
He's only on pace to get two at-bats a game.
Yeah, he got pinch hit for. Had a home
in
run and a strikeout.
Inning. I didn't get it.
John Singleton got pinch hit. Well, we're going to see a little different. Like, you know, at the time, Joe Espada was handling the managerial stuff, and we found out behind the scenes. A lot of people just assumed Dusty, who had been ejected, made the call. But I found out, no, that was Espada's call to pinch hit. Pinch and at the time, even then, I thought, why in the world are you going Singleton right here? And then Singleton got a walk, and then who is the other pinch hitter after him who came in and got the base knock? But it was at the time I was thinking, why is and then Singleton had a great at bat and got a walk, but even at that time I was thinking, what in the world are you going John Singleton here for?
Well, Singleton got the walk, and then Altuve hit the homer right after.
Was it right after that?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Well, we can look that's easy. But
no, because Machete, it was Singleton pinch hit for whoever was he pinch hit for actually
for Pena.
Alex for Jeremy Pena. Yeah. And then Machete, they pinch hit for him, someone else. I don't know if it was a Ledmus or who it was, but I do know that I was very surprised that Singleton got in there. So obviously he has some belief in Singleton.
He absolutely, yeah, I know, and
Espada.
He's really,
I don't know what
really
it is.
Needs to get rid of that.
So we'll find out.
Diaz Singleton walked, Diaz the second, and then Altuve homered. Yeah,
Diaz walked, Singleton
to. He hit for Maldonado. He didn't hit for Pena. Hit for Pena. Diaz singled to left, and then Singleton hit for Maldonado. He walked, and then Altuve homered.
Okay,
yeah.
But there was somebody else that we thought was going to pinch hit, I remember. I don't
something.
Remember who it was.
I don't know. Anybody all I know is Singleton. That he needs to start. I mean, he needs to have a lot less confidence in John Singleton, like the rest of us. And he needs a contact hitter up there. If he needs a three-run homer, okay. See, in that instance, he needed a home run.
Yeah.
That was a game that you needed a home run down 4-2. That was a good spot for John Singleton. Last night in a one-run game with two on, with two outs, is not a good spot for him.
I will give you – here's a bold take that has nothing to do with that, but it does have to do with back in the lineup. I think Yainer Diaz is going to be an all-star.
He could well be. I mean,
he's got the ability to throw people out defensively. You know, the calling the game stuff is calling the games. And I'm surprised. I haven't seen anyone talk about – oh, Yainer Diaz and Fromber struggling. I haven't seen anything, but I guarantee if pitchers struggle, and especially if Fromber struggles, at some point, and I don't know, maybe
how are you
going to
blame him for being as wild as he was?
You can't. You can't. And that's the thing. Being wild is one thing. But I will guarantee you it's going to pop up.
Yeah.
If the starters don't pitch as well with Yainer Diaz, it's going
to
pop
up. Except they pitched better to him last year than Maldonado.
But he didn't. He wasn't full time. There were certain guys who, like JV, never pitches to.
Yeah. Right.
And Fromber didn't either.
No, Fromber didn't either. But and here's the deal, and he had a better catcher ERA than Maldonado did. Of course, Maldonado had to catch they both had to catch Montero, which is awful.
Well, everybody collectively believes that Machete's better than calling a game than.
Yeah.
And handling pitchers than Yainer Diaz. But I do think Yainer Diaz offensively is going to be good enough that he is.
What about all the pass balls by Maldonado?
Yeah, it was.
And him not throwing runners out.
No, no, this needed to happen. Yeah. Obviously, this needed to happen. But I guarantee you, if Fromber keeps struggling, at some point it's going to turn to, huh, what about Diaz? Is he not comfortable throwing to Diaz? Is Diaz not? You're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't see it yesterday.
But you know what? Get over it. Dude had three hits yesterday. Get over it.
Yeah.
You know what? Throw to him. Or if you don't like it, have a spotter call the pitches. Whatever the case may be, because you got your earpiece in. You don't have to have Yiner calling the pitches.
I'd like to have JV calling the pitches.
Did you guys see the somebody put out knowing that we don't have to have Maldonado behind the plate and they had the dog try humping along because they're pretty happy that Maldonado's not behind the plate anymore.
I'm not. I'm happy for Yiner Diaz there. I'm not happy.
Well,
I don't know how to say it.
No,
I
mean, it was frustrating last year.
I'm happy to have Yiner having the prominent role. But I'm not happy that he's not on the team anymore.
No, but you couldn't have him on the team just for what you're talking about because JV would go, no, I want to throw to him.
Cold turkey.
You can't.
Can
you got to get rid
of up Yiner Diaz for Lent? No, they would eventually go back to Yiner.
Right. Yeah, JV might pick Yiner over Carpath only. I don't know. See, he's a golfer. I don't think he likes Carpath only either. He might pick Yiner over that. But probably that's the only way he would pick Yiner over Maldonado. You can't pick. Is this going to start? It's starting already with Joe Espada? Don't pinch hit Singleton.
No. It's just a game.
Let
him learn.
What is the confidence that they have in? I don't get it.
Well, I don't know.
Dude was 1-for-19.
It's just one game.
He was 1-for-19.
It's just a pinch hit. It's no big deal. It's just a pinch hit. I don't know. I think you're making too big a deal about one pinch hit.
Well, one thing about it, though, is, and there's something to this. You had all this. You're telling everybody that Jake Meyers is good. Jake Meyers, you know, he's going to play center field. We've got confidence in him. He homers in his first at bat, and then in the sixth inning, you pull him.
All I know is that Espada has to watch his team play the same way Ime got to do it, the same way D'Amico. Let's let Espada get his feet under him. It's one game out of 162.
Yeah.
He's never been a major league manager.
Well, so far,
let's see how he does. I mean, he'll figure some things out. He's got to make the calls. It's a whole lot different when you're sitting on the bench. A bench coach than being the guy pulling a trigger.
It's also a manager, though, could give a big confidence to a guy like Jake Meyers and throw him up in that situation. And Dusty even did that
a lot. It's just a game, though.
Dusty did that a lot,
And
too.
Jake is not a rookie. Jake's been around.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's that fragile, then...
And that's not it. You give him confidence saying... Mm-hmm. You give him some confidence saying, we trust you in this spot.
Look, you don't... I mean, if you're going to pinch it, you do it in the eighth or ninth. You don't...
Yeah,
not the
sixth.
Third AB. And where he's homered already. That didn't make any sense, but I'm also not going to... Like, let's let Espada do his thing, and we'll see how he... We'll see him... He's got to also get a feel for his bullpen and how he wants to use guys in the bullpen. I thought going to Presley showed that he was trying to make sure there were no more runs scored. He was trying to make sure, okay, we don't... And it actually blew up in his face.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Tonight on the mound is Christian Javier?
Yeah.
No, it's not a question.
Oh, okay.
Ellipses. Your thoughts on how that goes for him?
When
last we saw him, he had a terrible performance, but the ones before it were good.
Yeah. I'm very interested. I mean, he's got to come through this year.
Do you think the Astros will win
at home? He's got a $64 million contract. He's got to come through.
Do you think the Astros will win at home?
I think the Astros.
How many straight games have they lost at home?
This is a problem.
I know. They really need to win.
No, it's really, really a problem that they cannot win at home. They need to start winning at home.
Is Hader?
Unfortunately, no one will see
it. Can they go to Hader again today?
Yes, they can't go to Presley again today.
No.
He threw too many pitches.
Hader and Abreu are still good to go.
No, Abreu is not
still
here.
Still suspended, two right?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
suspension.
That.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest. That's right.
Well, would you rather had it happen in the playoffs?
No.
You don't think he would have been
But I remember how stupid it was then, though.
You don't think he would have been in there yesterday?
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, he would have.
Oh, my goodness. 812 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Free reign coffee. Free reign coffee. Love me some free-range coffee. I got my, I had it this morning in my Damaris cup that says Granado on it. But I got a Free Reign mug as well. I got a couple of them, actually. I ordered online. I got all the Texas Pecan. That's just me. You don't have to do that. I got my Texas Pecan because I love that the one the most. But you could love the, yeah, you can, everybody's got their own flavor, whatever they like, the Mustano or the Homestead or the American Dirt, if you that's what you want. If you love a French roast, that's your brew. Ultimate House Coffee is the Homestead, 100% Arabic blend with comforting chocolatey notes. What? The Mustano, single origin Colombian coffee. Oh, I mean, it's whatever you want, but everything is going to be full-bodied. Everything is going to get you get up and get after it. Everything is. I love my Free Reign coffee. You will love your Free Reign coffee as well. You can get pods. You can get beans. You can get grounds. If you get your own grinder, that's cool. Grind your own, but get those beans because they're different. They're just better. It's not bitter. It's awesome. I love my Free Reign coffee. You will too, and you'll love the 20% off when you put an ESPN20 in the promo code. 975coffee.com, promo code ESPN20 for 20% off site-wide.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Ryan is here. Let's get Ryan in here. He's been waiting a little while. What's going on, Ryan? Ryan, you there?
Yes, sir. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Hey, you're doing pretty good, man. Good morning. So I learned something new this morning, and I was hearing y'all talk about DAC. Do you think DAC is the equivalent to the term soaking? Just wondering.
Oh, I mean,
well, you did. It wasn't the same segment, wasn't it, or no? I don't know.
No, but he learned about that, so he doesn't.
I learned about that too.
Well, he doesn't go all the way to the Super Bowl, or to even to the NFC Championship.
Well, we were comparing DAC to things.
And actually, that's not a bad.
You compared him to James Harden. Someone said. No, Lamar Jackson's more like James Harden, two MVPs, not great in the playoffs. I understand that.
Lamar is like soaking?
No. Lamar's like James Harden. Now, Dak is like soaking, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
If you're a Cowboys fan and you see Dak out there,
actually, I'm comfortable with Cowboys fans, you don't have to be comfortable with it if it's accurate.
I don't know if we should be doing that comparison or making that comparison.
I don't either. That's on Ryan.
That's on you.
That's on Ryan.
No, you brought that term to the show.
I didn't compare anybody. I just asked if you saw it. And you immediately went, ugh.
No, you said.
You made a noise like you've been punched.
No, you said. What you said was, Dale, you probably heard
of
this before.
And you had. How did you heard of it?
Because I'm a child of the internet. The problem for you is your lead up was like, well, I don't know if I should do this. Okay, should I do this? No. Should I do it? And then you should have realized.
I should have just unleashed it.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, no, he's talking about this. And now we're getting tweets about BYU students wearing the shirt or talking about it. There's a tweet we got of a BYU student wearing a shirt that says, I soak.
I know. Is that look like it was BYU colors, too?
It was BYU.
If
BYU
he student? Wears that at school, are they going to suspend it?
I don't know their rule. I don't. Well, he's not a black athlete, so probably not.
No, probably not. No white kid's ever been suspended.
Not at BYU. No.
Oh. That's not accurate. They're very strict, period.
Now, that's John's old joke. Because remember that player who got suspended?
There was a running back and a basketball player.
Yeah, they both got. We never heard of a BYU player getting suspended for activities other than those two, for those type of activities.
Because they're all chased.
Well, obviously. No, there's no sex going on in Provo.
No, but there's a workaround.
You told us about it, definitely.
You got to get somebody to. Jump on the bed, too.
No. Oh, stop. What is wrong with on Good Friday?
I saw this on Twitter.
Okay. You don't have to bring
everything.
I saw it on Reels.
Everything.
Look, someone texted me yesterday, and you know what? I was in the middle of reading it on the show. I'm like, wait, I can't read that. Do that. Filter yourself.
Right.
Okay. You guys want to talk about Jaden Daniels or Jake Myers?
We can talk about Jaden Daniels.
You see what I called him?
All right. Okay. See if you agree with Dan Graziano. Jaden Daniels will have the best career of any quarterback in this draft. Dan Graziano says no. You pick him right now. Who's going to have the best career?
Honestly, I feel like if I had to put money on it, it'd probably be Jaden or J.J. McCarthy. And I don't love McCarthy, but I'm starting to feel like he's safe. And I feel like Drake may – I'm going back to the tape. Drake and Caleb are messes on the tape. Bo Nix is good on tape, really good on tape, but I just, you know, outs, he needs to be in a certain structure. He'd be great with Denver, with Sean Payton. I don't trust
Maybe they
Michael
do
Penix.
That. Maybe they do that.
They could, but I don't know that they have a second
They're
round
too
pick
high,
this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they can't draft him in the first, but I think, you know, I like Jaden Daniels a lot on tape. I thought Jaden Daniels was really good.
How did he throw against the air? That's the question.
Oh, so good that he may be the number one pick now, is what ESPN's trying to say, which is not accurate, which is not true.
Well, we saw Drake May throw against air, and everyone was excited about the velocity coming off the ball
coming off his hand. No kidding. That's all he does is throw gas. Did they show any four-yard shallow crossers where he threw it 100 miles an hour? Because he does that, too.
I don't think they run those routes.
Wow, that velocity's a little too much. That's too much.
Jaden can play now. Jaden can play.
Jaden can play. If Jaden was, and I said this, if Jaden was, and this took, I said this on a radio show, if Jaden Daniels was 215 pounds, he'd be the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
He would. He's a thin guy, and, you know, it's not the norm to have guys who are under 200 pounds being quarterback. It's not the norm. They did it with Bryce Young. Bryce Young had a bad, not because he was small, but Bryce Young had a bad year last year. If Tank Dell gets hurt again this year, teams are going to say, okay, the small, because there's more small wide receivers. If Emmanuel Forbes, the 166-pound corner who was drafted first in the first round by Washington and then got his ass kicked all year, if he has another bad year, they're going to say, okay, we're done with this skinny cornerback.
You think it's good timing for Isaiah Worthy to get in now before your doomsday scenario of Tank Dell getting injured again?
Well, yeah, Isaiah Worthy actually is going to be one of those guys,
or
too.
Or Xavier because, Worthy. I put Xavier Worthy.
I put Xavier Worthy in the third round, personally, where I graded him, because I looked at Jalin Hyatt, who went in the third round. I'm like, I don't think he's better. But he is a better pure – he's a better route – like, he can get open in more routes, Xavier Worthy. He's also a little smaller. He's definitely smaller than Jalin Hyatt. And he ran faster, although I would argue Jalen's still a really good deep route guy. So I kind of figured he'd be a third rounder because he's so, like, you know, that's where Tank went in the third, right? Yeah, Tank went in the third. And Tank's actually bigger pound for pound than, or height-wise. No, actually, he's not bigger than Xavier Worthy. I think he's about the same size, but... I think Tank Dell's half season really helped Xavier Worthy. I think it really does, because that size probably wouldn't have been drafted in the first round previously, but the season that Tank had before, ironically, he got hurt on a non-receiving play, at least, I think that helped a lot of people. Baker Mayfield having a good rookie season, it helped out Kyler Murray to be drafted first. Josh Allen's success helps out, you know, Josh Allen's success will help out Anthony Richardson. And bigger, if you can see somebody like them, then it makes you have more confidence in that. But similarly, if those guys fail and you see, oh, this guy reminds me of a guy who failed, who was a bit of an outlier, then I may stay away from him. So this draft is actually going to be, I think, kind of a fun draft where you don't know what's going on. It does suck for Houston Texans fans that there's no first round pick, because I know the excitement is having that Thursday night pick and the Texans don't have it. But for the good of the team, I think they actually helped their roster more by making that trade out. I think they're in a better position to go get the positions they need by trading and getting an additional second round pick. So we'll see what happens there. But I think Jaden's going to be a really good quarterback. I really do.
All right, you got to pick right now. Who's going to have the best career?
I'll go Jaden. That's fine.
Jaden? Yeah, I agree. He just got to make sure.
I think he reads defenses. I think he's patient. He's mobile. Jaden, to me, like, yeah, Lamar is a more explosive runner, but not by a lot. Lamar's the most special running quarterback. Lamar runs like a running back. He has just rare, rare stuff. At least not as much now as he did when he came into the league. Jaden is also a good passer.
Yeah.
Like, Jaden is not just a great runner and, you know, below average pocket passer. Jaden is about equal as a pocket passer and as a runner. It's the most rare dual threat quarterback I've seen come out, in that if you have a slider, if you're playing a Madden game and on the right is passing and on the left is running, And, you know, Matthew Stafford's going to be way to the right. Joe Burrow's going to be to the right. Josh Allen, you'll put Josh Allen about in the middle. You'll put him about in the middle. Jaden Daniels, to me, you put him about in the middle because he can hurt you as a passer and as a runner. Like, it's a true – Deshaun Watson's further to the left, for example. Tua's all the way to the right. You can go down the list of guys where you would slide it. But a lot of the dual-threat quarterbacks, you slide to the left on the running
Where's
side.
Where's CJ?
I mean, CJ is
– obviously a better
CJ's
passer.
CJ's to the right. Yeah, he's a good distance into the right, I think.
Well, this isn't good breaking news. Sad news. Lou Gossett Jr. passed away.
Ooh. Ah, man.
Wow.
Lou Gossett Jr., an actor who is famous for me, the most famous thing he is for kicking Richard Gere's ass, an officer and a gentleman, where he was the
first thing
sergeant, the staff sergeant or whatever.
Yep.
And one of his men tried to test him, and he got punched in the stomach, got beat up.
Yeah, and you know what? It was
Lou Gossett Jr.
It was all for Richard Gears. It made him a better person.
Yeah, it did.
It really did.
Yeah, it really did.
Lou Gossett Jr. made him Richard Gere a better person. There's no question. Well, in that movie, anyway. I don't
His
know
character,
what kind of
yes.
He ended up being a prostitute too after that.
Well, in a movie.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, you don't know if he was in real life either.
I mean, you don't think we'd have that information?
I don't know. You don't know.
Well, he wasn't a prostitute.
A famous
in
actor,
that movie. That
Richard Gere, became a prostitute.
He was a gigolo.
You don't know.
This is
there
what's
were rumors
sad.
About stuff he used to do.
Don't start those rumors.
Not
don't start that rumor again. Don't restart it. By the way, the word gigolo, just gone.
Yeah, what happened to it?
I don't know. Just gone.
So is harlot. That's gone.
Didn't you use that word on someone earlier? Not today, but
oh yeah.
Didn't
sounds
you call
like
someone
some
a harlot?
Guy would have said.
Who did you?
No. A mom named her daughter harlot.
Yeah, news of the weird, maybe.
News of the weird.
What?
And then she went. Oh,
what name were you calling Abigail?
No, I didn't call her a harlot.
No, it wasn't a harlot. It was a different name.
Huckster.
No.
Strumpet?
I don't remember.
Of those
I don't remember.
I did not call her.
No, it wasn't.
It
wasn't harlot. You're right. But it was something.
No. No.
John.
Not Abigail, I would never do that.
John.
Never.
John.
Ever.
He did something. I don't remember. It wasn't harlot, but it wasn't that. But it was something. But I'm trying to think my favorite Lou Gossett Jr. movie.
There's no question what it is.
What is it for you?
It's An Officer and a Gentleman.
When he was yelling at Richard Gere?
Yeah. Yeah. That was, yes. You can't, I mean, he was awesome in that movie. Awesome. I think that was his.
Hold on.
That was his signature role, right?
Our old guy, Tyler, from the station, asked you a golf question.
A serious one, too.
Right.
Serious golf. What do you think the, I don't know these people, so I feel like this is a trick. Like he's tricking John with Mockingdale names. Serious golf question. What do you think the economic impact of the golf tournament will be? You got pros like Ricky Wasaki, Paul Ubari, Calvin Heimberg, all vying for the win amongst the fans. I feel like it's a good boost to the local economy.
Are those real golf names?
Those can't be real golf. This must be disc golf, guys. And I don't know disc golf names either.
John, do you recognize any of
you
those names?
You recognize those names?
No. Okay. But they very well could be in the field because there's a lot of guys. What he's saying is that there's not a lot of huge names in the field. That's basically what
he's
saying.
Oh, that's what he's saying. Okay.
That's what he's saying. That these
no,
guys.
No, Calvin Heimberg is a disc golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want to know the truth, there are a lot of names in this field that.
Look at that guy.
For example, Wilson Furr is 6 under. Joe Highsmith. Never heard of him.
You never heard of these guys?
Never heard of them, no.
And you play fantasy?
Alejandro Tosti.
You play fantasy golf and you've never heard
of
these guys?
David Skins. No, never.
David Skins isn't a real guy.
Yeah, he's a real guy.
That's some
Tom
character.
Whitney. Max Grazerman. How about this? Charlie Epps' grandson, Charlie.
Is this the Houston Open?
This is the Houston Open.
These are the guys
that
Houston
are there
Open
right now.
That you've never heard of. Max
never.
Tosti.
Now, you got some... But Charlie Epps' grandson, Charlie, is in high school. He was 1 stroke away from qualifying on Monday to be in the tournament.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah, it came down to the 18th hole. and he was one stroke in high out of high school. In high school, that's how good the kid is. Listen, you're going to be hearing from Charlie Wiley. He's a good player.
All the only thing I'm hearing is not good enough.
Oh. Dell, he's in high school.
He's the James Harden of high school golfers. Hey, finish the deal.
Charlie, don't listen to him. Keep on going.
Congratulations, Charlie.
Be better. Keep on going, buddy.
Yeah, that's a great story. Be better.
No. Go, Charlie. Great start. You're off to a great start.
Let's give Charlie,
don't listen to him.
Let's give Charlie a participation trophy for almost making it. Is that what we do to our kids today?
You're maybe the worst person ever.
But for real, Charlie, congratulations on almost accomplishing your goal.
Time to talk. Speaking of golf, hey, there's some big name women coming. Nelly Korda, she won again. Okay, I think that was her 10th win on tour. She's the number one player in the world again, and she's going to be here for the Chevron Championship. It's the first major of the year. Of course she's going to be here. All the names are going to be here. Lillian Vu is going to try to defend her title here at the Nicklaus course at Carlton Woods. Just a great tournament. It's just a couple of weeks from now, the 17th through the 21st. I guess that's 3 weeks from now. But it's going to be perfect. Hopefully we'll have perfect weather. I know the golf course is going to be in perfect shape. I know that they can play. I know that it's fun. I know that, you know what? You got to get your tickets now at thechevronchampionship.com. Bring your daughters out there. Let them see women compete at the highest level, because this is the highest level. They can just flat out play. This is something that your daughters and your sons need to see as well, because they see that, yeah, don't be misogynistic. Get on out there. Bring those boys out there and let them see golf at its highest level on the women's tour. It doesn't get any better for the women than right here at the Nicklaus course at Carlton Woods. TheChevronChampionship.com. TheChevronChampionship.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 835 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on this Good Friday. Happy Good Friday to everybody. Happy Easter this weekend. What a weekend we have. We got the Yankees in town. We got the Houston Open here, the Texas Children's Houston Open. We got the best golfers in the world. We got the couple of the best major league teams in the world. We got our Cougs to watch, hopefully, tonight and on Sunday night. They take on Duke today. Cougs, a four-point favorite. Listen, how do you see? We got the Rockets in action tonight at Utah. How do you see the Cougs game? You got the Cougs in minus four?
I do. Actually, I think Duke is, you know, last game scared me, but I also thought A&M was going to be a heckler. I thought that was going to be a tough game. Duke should be an even tougher game. Duke should be the one that is on upset alert against the Cougs, you know, being able to beat the Cougs. But I just have a feeling the Coug fans are going to really travel well. I mean, certainly it's not a long trip. I think Coug fans are going to load up, pay the money to get into the stadium.
Oh, it's sold out.
It's been sold out. It's been on secondary tickets. Yeah. No, Houston wanted us to mention on the radio you could get your tickets, but I
no,
have a
no,
hard
they
time.
Wanted you to go there. They, you know, obviously we do a lot of stuff with the University of Houston. They said we know it's sold out, but we want you to go.
Well, and they also said you can get secondary tickets, but I have a hard time just promoting secondary tickets that are mark the way up. Like that's tough.
That's hard.
It's a decision you have to make if you want to, and you know where to go. But I do know that I think the fans are going to be there. And I think Kelvin Sampson with extra time to prepare is no fun. So I think that's an advantage. And you know, Duke.
Let's
see if Duke, this isn't the same Duke team. It's not as hateable as they used to be. It's a lot of that has dropped off. Like, there's a whole generation of kids who don't hate Duke. They just don't know how fun that was.
I don't know why they would not.
They just don't know how fun that was. But I think Duke, what's going to be interesting is if the officials let them play some, then it really does not benefit Duke. It doesn't benefit anybody if officials let teams play and they are not tight with the whistles. You don't like playing Houston.
Well, here's the deal, though.
How does their backcourt deal with the pressure that Houston's going to impose?
Jerry McCain ain't getting off like he did against James Madison.
No, because he'll have extra attention.
Oh, you don't think they're going to be guarding him out at that three? He was 8 for 11 from three. He ain't doing that against the Cougs. Ain't nobody doing that against the Cougs. That just ain't happening. I was shocked. Did you see Mom Littlesovich, the freshman from Iowa State? I mean, he took two shots in that game. You have got to get that. You have got Iowa State just had a terrible game plan against Illinois. You have got to get that kid. That guy is the future of your program. He Illinois has got to get. And he only played 24 minutes.
Illinois is a good team.
Yeah.
They're well coached, and they have been now for the last 3 or 4 years. They can beat you in different ways. They've had good post players. They've had guys who can shoot threes. But mostly it's defensively. They do a really good job of taking certain guys out of action. But to your point about Houston, to me, it's not even a point spread game from a gambling standpoint. Of course, these are the same two guys who we were arguing about whether or not the Rockets could cover the other night, and they won straight up. But I feel like if you like Duke, you just play a money line. If you like the Cougs, I don't think it's going to come down to four. I think the Cougs will either win by 8 or more, or Duke wins the game. It's going to be one of those two things. And I kind of like Houston. I think it's real easy to prepare for a team like Houston until you have them in your face and you have them being physical with you. But Houston cannot lose rebound battle, and they cannot take a dump from the three-point line.
Well,
it just can't happen.
No. Yeah, they need Sharp. I don't know if Sharp can ever play again like he did the last game. I just
Why
don't
not?
Know. LJ Cryer's got to play.
LJ needs a big game.
He needs a big game. Jamal is going to take over. Jamal is going to take over the game, but Roberts and Francis have to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah.
They have now. Filipowski is going to be is
the
gonna,
dude. I mean, it's going to be an issue. They're going to have to challenge him without fouling him.
Yep. He and Mitchell are going to be. There's no question that they're going to be tough.
I would rather he get looks at the basket than them fouling. I mean. It's not in their nature to give anyone an easy look. It's just not.
No, nobody gets an easy look. But you can't have, Loft can't be in there.
Not early.
With 12 minutes left in the first half. He just can't. He just can't. Francis has got to control himself. They have to be tough, but they still have to be smart. Because that smaller lineup can win, but man, oh man, oh man, you can't get in the same kind of foul trouble as you got in against Texas A&M and win this game. You just can't. They have got to be aggressive. Well, again, that referee, though, he reffed two games for the Cougs, and there were 101 fouls called in those games. They're going to be looser. I think this will be a looser called game. That's big. That depends a lot on the referees that are calling the game. There was some ticky-tack stuff that they called that was just ridiculous. Cougs are going to be very aggressive. If they let them play, you're right. The Cougs run away with this thing. I think the Cougs run away with it if they let them play.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because Duke ain't ready for that. Filipowski, you ain't ready for that. You're going to try and trip somebody, Filipowski? Okay. You're going to try and trip somebody? You see what happens if you do that to the Cougs. That ain't happening.
What do you mean?
Filipowski, you ain't getting away with that crap.
Whose house? Supposedly a neutral house, but it's not going to be a neutral house.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you a shot caller now? Are you saying if Filipowski tries something, something's going to go down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Stay in your lane, white boy.
No, he can say that. Del, it's no. Don't back away from the microphone. He can.
Yeah.
He can say that.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane, white boy should be a t-shirt. Stay in your lane, white boy. It's a hate crime if you can't, only certain people can wear that shirt.
Yeah. No.
Or a big
best stay in your lane.
But John can't actually say that. He can say, stay in your lane, white boy.
He said
it with, like, man, there was something extra.
Some vitriol behind it.
Yeah, you said it with your chest.
He may be able to say it, but then he rubs his forearm, and does that cancel it out?
Yeah, I would tell you, don't do that. I think it makes you more of a hate crimer.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that gives you leverage and power of saying that is you're a white boy. And when you say you're not, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, now you're being a bigot or maybe even a racist. If you say it and you're rubbing your arm to show how you believe you have the melanin to do that because you spend so much time in the sun playing golf.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with what you, I mean, me and Amon St. Brown, or not.
Amon Ross
St. Brown's dad. I'm okay with it.
Gary?
We're both okay with that.
Never mind. Forget it. Just forget it.
You were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say he didn't tell white boys to stay in their lane. He actually was telling his kids to, well.
Don't dilute the blood.
Yeah.
Just say it. The Hitler thing that he was saying.
I don't want to get into eugenics talk again.
All right.
What a Friday show.
Well, Art made the point. Really, guys? Okay. Gerbils.
No one said that.
Gigolo, gerbils, soaking. This is a good Friday show. Is this what you're proud of, Lance?
That is the kind of shows he likes, so let's quit being a hypocrite.
Yeah. Shake my head, he said. He didn't say he disliked it. He just said, good Friday.
Twitch says they're going to report you to DEI for what you said. You're getting reported to DEI. I don't know how. Well, John is unreportable.
Yeah, I'm on both sides. Okay.
No, that's not what he means.
His nickname is Teflon John.
He doesn't mean you're on both sides. That's why you're unreportable. It's just you have a certain level of security that, or not care factor that report him or don't. What happens? Who cares? John doesn't care. That's why you're unreportable, not both sides.
John wants to send whites across the border. Well, that's not.
Well, they are in Dallas.
That's not.
There's a lot of whiteys that came across the border that need to go. Yeah.
Send them all back?
What do you want? But people from Dallas who come down?
The illegals. If you're here illegally, yes. I don't care what color you are.
I don't know if Kyle Filipowski would fall under that.
I didn't say he is illegal.
Well,
okay?
Stay in your
lane. Although he's got a Polish name. I don't know. You don't know.
Please don't.
Eugenics, Poland. I see where this is going.
No, please.
I don't want any part of this. And my last name is Zierlein.
If he's not here legally, he shouldn't play tonight.
What if people come down from Dallas? What if the hootie tootie snooties from Dallas come down here, some of the whites? Would you want them to go back to where they came from and stay in their lane?
If they're here illegally, beat it.
From Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did anyone ask you to come to Houston? No. Are you here legally in Houston? Dallas people, beat it.
Did you check in with James Prince? If you don't check in with John...
Yeah.
You can't be here as a, I don't want to say as all whites, but definitely Dallas whites.
Well, just check in with clear,
the church ones.
Filipowski's from Middletown, New York.
Oh.
So it appears he is in the country legally and he can play tonight by your rules, by your standards.
Well, we don't know. I mean, did they come over, his parents come over on a boat? And
if he was born here, what are you saying?
You sure he was born here?
Yeah.
Once again. This is really quick to be doing this on the heels of all the Alperen Şengün stuff.
Well, we're talking about Americans, so we shouldn't be in any trouble. He's actually an American.
He's American.
But
he comes from that weird country, America.
But he needs to stay in his lane no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. John said that. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. White boy. Time to talk about HRMP right now. Perfect segue.
Talk about... sure. Go ahead.
Perfect segue. Okay. Do you think I get a call? I might. No one knows. You don't know if I'm going to get a call. Yeah. All right. Chris is probably contemplating it right now. Might have to call him. I'm going to have to call him and see. Call him to the carpet. Dropping white boys on the show. So here's the deal is if you've got a problem employee like they have here, a problem employee, then you need HRMP. If you are somebody that is trying to do payroll and it's getting a little out of hand, we have to hire your payroll department and say, we need more people in here. It's just too much work. We just can't handle all the work. And you're doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong. okay? Because HRP will get your – we got – I don't know how many employees here, and we got Laura in there. She does it. She takes care of everything, okay? She's our CFO, and that's all we need because we've got HRP. Do you? How many people are tending to your taxes and your payroll and your HR? It's too much. I don't care how big your business is. It can't be too big for HRP. HRP can handle it and will handle it. So even if you've got, let's say you've got branches in other states, that's not a problem. There's no problem that HRP can't overcome. You're looking for a great way to get stop doing your own payroll or you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
8:51 here on the show. You guys want to jump in? We haven't had a lot of serious callers. So let's...
No, something about you.
You guys crank it up. 713-780-3776. Let's go. 713-780-3776. I can talk about draft if you want, but I'd really love to talk about Cougars basketball today. Are you headed up to the game? Are you driving right now up to Dallas, and you happen to be listening to us, give us a shout. Just let us know. Rockets tonight. How are you going to split out your viewing? That's something we've talked about. You got Rockets, Cougars, and Astros on at the same time. So kind of curious how people are going to handle that from a viewing standpoint. The Astros are going to be on Apple TV, which makes it a little bit tougher, obviously. Cougars, are the Cougars on CBS, or are they going to be on
CBS.
Okay, so they are the CBS game. The other day was on TNT, which I thought, why is it on TNT?
No, it's on CBS. Starts at 8:40.
So we're
they're
late.
The early of the two late games. The other one starts 10 minutes later.
Okay, so we got Cougs, Rockets, and then of course Rockets. We haven't talked a lot about Rockets today, but this is win streaks at 10 now, right?
Win streaks at 10.
Win streak is at 10.
At Utah tonight, at Utah.
Six straight road games that they have won.
Yep.
Looking to make it seven straight road games. It's not a back-to-back, which is favorable. You like them tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to bet against them. It's hard to bet against them, isn't it?
It is.
I mean.
They are playing for each other. They are really obsessed with winning. You know who I love is Tari Eason. Have you seen Tari Eason's? Do you have from Tari Eason last when they beat After they beat Oklahoma City, you had it from yesterday.
Well, we got both.
Play Tari Eason.
We got Tari and we got Draymond responding to Tari.
Yeah. Dell, let's play. Is Dell listening to us?
I don't think so.
Unfortunately, I am.
Oh, he's just
thinking. Looking through the sound to find yesterday's.
Oh, okay. So we'll let you put. But Tari is totally engaged. Like, Tari is engaged with the season hardcore. Even though he knows he's not going to play all year, this guy is tweeting through the game. He's making videos after the game. Like, Tari is all in. He's
These
still
are
very
his guys.
Excited. I know.
Yeah.
But I love that he's still, like, you still hear him talking about the team. He's still living and dying with these. That's how much winning means to Tari Eason. And this is Tari Eason. Now, remember, they're chasing the Golden State Warriors. Here's Tari Eason after the Rockets beat Oklahoma City.
Warriors, come out to play! Yeah.
Son of a buck. I did not see that coming.
You should have. This is actually Tari's.
Dang it. I can't believe you
better.
Did that.
Warriors, come out to play! Warriors, come out to play! Yeah! It's like that.
Warriors, come out to play, yeah.
And then you can
that
play
flyer's looking so high up there.
Yeah,
kind of fun,
and then
that.
You can play the real one because actually Tari kind of copied
the
real
one. No, I thought he was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
He was pretty
exactly,
good.
The first two are more stoic the third and the fourth one.
Yours
the ones
was, Chloe. I didn't think was.
Mine was a musical version.
Ooh.
Yeah. What's that? It's Warriors the Musical.
I didn't get that from it.
Yeah. It was, don't go in that direction.
I just didn't get that.
That's what it is.
Come out to play, yeah.
It was kind of like a yodel.
I think
it's zesty. We shouldn't have taught him a new word. We shouldn't have taught him a new word.
I think it's actually better. I would say it's more sassy.
Zesty and sassy you can get away with still. But you'll be able to get away with it for a little while because Black Twitter started it. It still have a shelf life, and then
a little while.
Eventually, it's going to catch
pretty
up.
Soon
people are going to
say
you can't say zesty.
You can't say zesty anymore. Now,
for right now, you can
Draymond
say
on his podcast. First, Draymond admitted that he was wrong, and when he got kicked out of the game at 4 minutes in the other night. Did you see Steph's reaction to it?
He
was pissed.
He was pissed, but then he also started getting tears in his eyes.
He was sad.
And then Steph went off and had a great game, but this is the same loser he's always been. He can't control himself.
Now, he did admit. He's
not a loser. He's a great competitor. But
because afterwards, Steve Kerr gave it to him. You saw Curry's reaction. But Draymond said, yeah, it was my fault. I deserved it. He said, I should have turned my back. I was going to turn my back and say the stuff as I was walking away.
Stupid.
Instead, he could hear me.
He had two techs four minutes into the game. They're playing for the playoffs.
I absolutely deserved it. It's been my bad. No big deal. We're in a playoff hunt, but no big deal. And that's Draymond being Draymond. He also responded to Tari Eason and the Warrior taunt.
Why would he come out and make a video telling the Warriors to come out and play? Everybody in Houston had a heart attack when he did that. When you lose to a team in the playoffs when it matters the most, and like especially at the height of like, you know, with them Dubs with like the height. When you lose, like, it's tough to talk because that's what matters. And so when you start talking, everybody just look back like, bro, you can't talk to them because of that. And so shout out to the young fella, you know, coming out, talking about Warriors come out and play. A part of the reason that I like Tari Eason is that he would come out and do that. Like, that's when I saw it, I wasn't surprised at all. I am a little surprised that he hasn't played in the game since January 1st. It's kind of tough to come out yelling, come out and play, and you're not going to play. Like, you can't get out there and help them. But I respect it. You know, on the trails of the play-in, it's a big moment for the franchise, so I get it.
He's right. It would have been better if it was actually someone who was playing.
But also the fact that he even mentioned it shows you that he's easily, like, it is easy to get under his skin.
Yeah.
He can't let anything go.
Tari did give him a little bit of, you know, a little extra.
He didn't give him anything. He said, Warriors come out to play.
And to be fair, Draymond's doing a podcast. He's got to create content. So if he saw it, he should talk about it. Yeah. But you don't think
that's who he is?
Yeah, sure. But he sees everything, and he's doing that podcast.
You don't
so
think
talk
every,
about it.
Every arena doesn't do Warriors come out to play. Every arena he goes into, that's nothing new.
It's different when a player does it on a team that you're competing directly against.
But he also is a guy who likes to get himself reasons to be mad about stuff.
But he's also a guy who is not playing. He makes a pretty good point. Come out to play when you're not playing.
So, Drake, the clip that really got circulated was just that part. And, you know, some Rocket people got upset because, Draymond, you get ejected. You don't play. But Draymond's been very complimentary of Tari in the past. A clip from a couple years ago I saw when I was searching for the stuff, he likes Tari, and you heard it in the clip. So I don't think there's any bad blood. Just, hey, man, you actually aren't going to be out there. So
he just has to address it because he can't let anything slide.
Why? I mean,
he couldn't let anything slide by the officials. He just told you he can't. That's not in his nature.
I wouldn't go after him on this because he does a podcast. Some guy talked about his team. You talk about it. It's content. And he's got to fill. I don't know how long that podcast goes, but I'm sure it's about an hour.
Yeah. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, people want to. Listen, it's going to come to a point where guys aren't going to do media interviews anymore. They're just going to go on their podcasts and explain everything.
It's already happening.
We have sound. Well, isn't about a guy doing a podcast, but I'll find it. De'Aaron Fox was asked about you know, doing media and what it means for his team, and he was like, I don't give a F about this. I'm only out here because they tell me to come out here. It was a beat reporter trying to find meaning in a season. Hey, De'Aaron, you come out here when you guys get blown out or when you don't. De'Aaron was like, man, I don't want to do this. I'm just here because they tell me to. Because
I have to be. Otherwise, I'll get fined by the league.
Yeah.
All right, 9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We got a couple of segments. We got a couple of three segments left. Let's go. Get in here if you can. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.